And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan, home of those amazing Padres.
Hey, not only first in the National League, but
all of them
9-0 at home. Right?
Kidding me?
Right?
Yeah. And last night, well, are you
record four shutouts?
Unbelievable.
Bring it on.
Glad Tatis is back in the lineup.
I know.
It's so good. Yeah.
Merrill's next.
Yeah, for sure.
Watch out.
Fantastic team and a fantastic place to be on 97.3 The Fan. We have a fantastic team in the studio.
Was that pun intended?
Yeah, I don't know.
Fan?
Fan. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Right. Fantastic. That's it. Yeah. Steve Carson. The Walking Encyclopedia is here, and Mark Wheeler from Encinitas Ford is here, too. So having fun talking fishing here, and if you want to join us, tell us how.
Well, there's two ways to do it, as always. Number one, give us a call. There is an open line right now at 833-288-0973. Jeff at the Fans, waiting for your fantastic fan right there, waiting for your call. Or you can send us a text via the app. Steve liked that one, didn't he? Yeah, it's good times. Send us a text via the app. If you do, make sure you leave your name and telephone number, because we're giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego at the end of the show. And,
yeah.
You can fish with Booger or Matt Brawla there and have good times.
Some good fishing.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, hey. Rock on Rick's on hold. What's up, Rick?
Rick.
Hey, good morning, boys. How we doing?
Hey, give us a report from the day at the docks.
It's off to an early start, man. Like many successful events do, you can kind of gauge how things are going to go when the crowd is there before it officially opens. You know it's going to be a good day, and that's exactly what's going on. There's a lot of people here, but it's been great. Parking is going excellent. Shuttles get rolling here in a little bit, and man, so far so good. It looks like it's going to be a really good day today.
Yeah, fantastic. Are they already selling their used tackle at the Rollo booth?
I know that there was a big line. It got a little too overwhelming on the inside of the tackle store, so I had to go in. And there was a nice long line waiting to get into Rollo, as there always is before it opens. And I can't confirm whether they dropped the gate yet, but they have a lot of stuff this year. So,
yeah,
if it hasn't kicked off yet, it's going to get wild.
Yeah. So, of course, Fisherman's Landing Tackle has those incredible deals that we were talking about, right, and all that. And then I want to mention, too, that Tommy P and Dave and Wayne are going to be helping us out in the Let's Talk Hookup booth, too, which is right across from the Rollo booth. And we have a giveaway deal on our T-shirts and hats. 2 for $25. 15 bucks a piece, 2 for $25. So 12
for it costs to make them.
Yes. It costs more than that. $12.50 a piece for a 100% cotton T-shirt with pocket. But we're just reducing our inventory, shall we talk about. So you want a Let's Talk Hookup shirt and hat? There you go. Right, Rick?
It was one of the reasons I wanted to call. The booth looks awesome. The boys did a really good job while you and Corey are holding it down in the world headquarters there. And it's right outside of Fisherman's Landing, right next door to us. And the booth looks really good. The new hats look really good. Everything. The boys are doing a great job. And, yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to mention, was how nice the Let's Talk Hookup booth came together.
Thanks, thanks. And, of course, all those sensational deals on fluorocarbon, Gamakatsu hooks, buy two, get one free, CalStar rods, Shimano reels. I mean, everything's on sale, right?
It's been crazy. Reels are what always kind of steal the show, and that's certainly what's happening this morning. 100% of the reels are 10% off, unless it's an even higher discount. But everything is 10% off, some a few more, and then free Spectra to go along with them. That's what's had us crazy this morning. One thing that we didn't get until literally yesterday is we got a really cool one if you're in the market for a gaff. We were able to buy a ton of Aptco gaffs that normally retail for a little over $100, and they're on sale for $39.95.
Ooh, a bunch of them. Jeez. And the other thing that you talked about yesterday was the deal on the boots, on extra tough boots, right?
Totally. Yeah, both the short and the long, all sizes. You know, boots that are normally up $150, they're on sale for $100. The ankle boots that I think are $130, they're on sale for $80. We have two kind of areas, an inside and an outside. the outside Pete, just like you, it's like our clutter reduction going into it. So there's a ton of things that happen throughout the year. You know, jigs that maybe they discontinue a size or they discontinue a color. We collect and save that stuff all year long just for day at the docks and for tackle day, and then we put it out. So, like, there's a ton of yo-yo and surface iron in our outside booth that's, like, $3 a jig or $4 a jig. And then anything that's first run, brand new, no matter what, on the inside of the shop, all of that is buy two, get one free.
So that's crazy.
Even, like, tungsten, the stuff that you can't hardly get, is buy two, get one free.
Wow.
We had a couple of guys in here that were buying $80 jigs and getting freebies with them. It's been really fun this morning. It's a great start. It's going to be a great show, and I just wanted to call to say that things are up and running. And, you know, Day at the Docks is – there's new leadership behind it, and I think it's taking it to the next level. It's a lot more saltwater-orientated. It's always been a saltwater celebration, a fishing show, but, you know, sometimes it was overshadowed, and there's a little more artwork and a little more – you know, face paint stuff, and there's plenty of stuff for the family, plenty of stuff for the kids, but it definitely got a bump in the arm for the hardcore sport fishing side of things.
Ah, yeah. Fantastic. Stoked to hear that. And free parking, of course, over on Shelter Island with a free shuttle bus. And Rock Cod Rick, we miss you in the studio here, but glad you're holding the fort down there, and have a great day at Day at the Docks today. And thanks for the update.
Thanks, boys. Have a great show. We got it live in the on the big TV in the landing and all in the radios in the Let's Talk Hookup booth. We'll see you guys out here.
Fantastic.
Thanks,
Hi, guys. All right. Great to have you. All right. Well, let's jump into the phones, Corey.
Let's do it, Pete. How about Rich? Rich calling from Bradley. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hookup, Rich.
Good morning. A lot of world-class information coming from the worldwide headquarters this morning.
That's for sure.
And Steve was talking about how we had to relearn knots, and I learned the John Collins RP knot from watching the YouTube videos from Let's Talk Hookup, and it's really served me well. But one little hitch in the giddy-up for me is that I can cast it through my guides with the light line that I'm using for finesse applications for freshwater bass, and it works great. But when I get up to larger sizes for, like, party boat fishing, it won't go through the guide, so I've learned the hard way. I've got to tie it outside of the guides. But if you follow fishing much, just about every day on Facebook, there's going to be at least two or three times that they posted an illustration of what they call an improved Albright knot, where instead of winding it down five or six times and then winding it back up, you start at the bottom and just wind it up and put it back through and give it maybe one more half twist through the loop. And I'm wondering if Steve has had any experience with this new way of tying the Albright.
I haven't. I've seen those same videos, and in terms of teaching knots and learning knots, YouTube is an absolute godsend. Over the years, you know, I've tried to teach them in big formats and small formats, and there's just no substitute for being able to sit at home, push the button, pause, push the button, pause, and practice. But the knot you're talking about, no, sort of my trick, and I'm still using, you know, the good old RP, John Collins.
It's an awesome knot.
It is awesome. What I'll do, and again, I'm doing this for the camera, is after you've wound it back down, you go through the hole, right? And then I'll come back through again,
yep.
A second time. And then once you've gotten it tightened down, the thing that gets hung up in the guides is, the for want of a better word, is the little tag end of the mono.
Right.
That's what messes you up. So what I do is I use fishing glue that I buy. The tack glue I buy from Doug Kern.
Okay.
It's the best stuff out there.
So you keep that tag end tight to the spectrum.
Keep the tag end very tight. And then
I
use the glue. The glue does not make the knot any stronger. What it does is it creates just a tiny bit of friction inside the knot that keeps it from slipping.
And you said you go through
the
eye.
And then you trim real tight.
And trim real tight. And then I go, you know.
Twice.
You know,
I go through three times.
And I've done that too.
Yeah.
And for Rich.
And it definitely makes it a more effective knot. It doesn't slip as easy.
But here's where Rich is going to run into issues. Making 1,000 casts freshwater fishing.
Right.
That loop of fluorocarbon is going to take a wear and tear issue, and you're going to end up breaking off when you hook a 6-pounder.
I also admit, and those who know me know this is true, I'm more than a little bit OCD, which means a knot never remains unretied
For a long period.
For very long.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's just the way I am. And
when in doubt, retie.
When in doubt,
why not?
When in doubt, retie.
Do you, like, when you catch a fish, do you retie your hook knot?
If with bait, if I catch a fish with bait and it's a fish any bigger, you know, than a calico, if it's, you know, a yellowtail or up, yeah, I do. I retie.
Every time. I think it's a good rule of thumb to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what knot do you use on your hook?
On my hook, I tie a San Diego, a single San Diego, not a double. And the exact number of turns varies with not only the pound test that I'm using, but also the brand. If I'm tying with like Prospect fluorocarbon, which is a little bit, what's the correct word? It's got a high friction.
Slippery.
It's not slippery. It's the opposite of slippery.
Oh.
Then I'll only tie five turns. If I'm tying with a regulation old school big game mono, which is pretty doggone slippery, and I'm using like 30 pound, I'll tie seven turns.
Oh.
All the way up to 100 pound, I might only tie four turns.
Gotcha. Mark, what do you tie?
San Diego.
San Diego knot. Yeah. Such an easy knot. So easy,
and
it's hard to mess
too.
Up, right?
I love the RP.
I learned the San Diego knot when I was about yay high, 3 feet tall, fishing El Dorado Park, which you know where El Dorado Park is, and I have never stopped tying the San Diego knot. No reason to go any further.
I learned it on the Searcher when Frank was the captain.
Oh, wow. Now you're dating yourself.
I know it.
Yeah.
Careful.
Hey, I think Frank invented it, so that's probably the reason.
Maybe so. Hey, I have a great text here from Mark in Fallbrook. He says, good morning, Mr. Carson. Please talk to us about the importance of lightweight, long sleeve shirt and proper footwear when fishing.
Holy
mackerel. Mark weigh in on this.
You guys have got me, and I do go to the dermatologist at least twice a year. And occasionally if I have something that alarms me, also I am the SPF 100 poster child. I put it on before coming in here, at home. Lightweight long sleeve shirts, just like this, I always wear them. I pretty much almost always wear gloves. I like the AFCO short gloves.
Nice.
I don't like the gloves where just the end of your fingertips is exposed. It doesn't give me enough dexterity, so I get what they call the short pump gloves.
I'm showing this
to the camera. I realize not everybody can show it, but they're cut off here. That gives me my dexterity.
The
back of my hands are completely covered.
And they make a sun glove too that's the same. Short. Sure. You should try. They're lighter weight than the short pumps.
But I like the palm on the short pumps. I like the palm because I'm fighting the fish with that too.
Yeah. Now what about footwear?
Footwear I do wear, you know, my good old extra tusks, but what he also mentioned is I always wear light tropical weight. Well, not today, I'm wearing jeans. But when I'm out fishing, I either wear light tropical weight, full length. I just literally don't wear shorts anymore at all anywhere, which everybody's really happy about, I might add. but I wear tropical weight pants, and then I also wear Cabela's guide pants for my nighttime bluefin fishing. With the nice flannel lining.
Mark, you spent a lot of time on your boat in the tropics.
Right.
Right. Tell us about what you wear.
I'm a topsider flip-flop guy for traction.
Yeah.
Or topsider shoes.
Topsider shoes.
Man, when you miss, it's painful.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to go down.
Right.
Yeah.
So that, and I've got a teak deck, so it helps a lot. But, you know, you start to go to the foredeck and get tossed around, it's not fun. So I'm pretty much a heavy topsider guy.
Yeah, and then what about shirts?
Shirts, I wear the long sleeves like Steve talks about.
Yeah.
Yeah, lightweight, long sleeve.
You a glove guy too?
Nah, I don't glove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the other things too that's really important that people probably don't do a lot is the face shields, the face masks, especially in the tropics. You're wearing a hat or a big floppy hat or a regular baseball style hat. Wearing that face mask can really protect the sides, because I've had several things.
I do wear buffs. I don't always remember on the buffs.
Yeah.
But I have about 10, and then you know sometimes I just forget to put them on because I don't like wearing them when it's not sunny. The gloves I wear, again, even when we're night fishing for bluefin or whatever, I wear the gloves all the time.
Yeah.
But the buffs sometimes I do forget, but they're. You know, there you are exactly correct.
Sun protection
is
very important.
Long before all this was fashionable, going to Florida and seeing all these Florida guides, just with chunks cut out of their ears and their lips and their nose, And now you just don't see anybody down there
without
not wearing buffs.
Yeah. AFCO's made it nice, though.
They make it there.
You're talking Florida. When I saw people in Florida wearing a long sleeve, I thought, never in my life could I do it. AFCO's made it possible.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Hey, Arnie from CCA and San Diego Rod and Reel Club is on the line. Good morning, Arnie.
Good morning, Arnie.
Corey, T, Mark, and Steve, how you guys doing? Man, it's going to be a wonderful day out here. Don't let the clouds fool you guys. It's going to get nice and warm out here.
Yeah, nice. And, of course, you're a day at the docks. And so now you're helping out with a kids' fishing program with the Rod and Reel Club, right?
Well, yes, we're running the fishing pen at the end of H&M Landing. We have a booth here at the top of the dock. So all the kids come by, please get a ticket. And we're going to enter every kid that fishes our pen into a raffle that they're going to win a spinning reel and a spinning rod and a 3000 series reel. And we're going to make that draw this afternoon. I think it's 3:00.
Nice. And what's biting in the pens, Arnie?
I think it's mackerel. And they look like they're hungry.
Hey, they're yellowtail.
Yeah.
With tiger stripes.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And Arnie, you do so much for CCA, too. I know CCA has a big presence. Chris and Tony are going to be there and promoting the big dinner coming up May 1st. And then Apps and Taps, which is coming up on the 17th of May.
It's a big day, Pete.
Lots of big events.
I just bought my Apps and Taps ticket yesterday.
Very nice. It's going to be a great
event.
Thank
you, Steve.
Yeah, that's going to be a
great
event.
Yeah, Anthony Shea, they're going to honor Dave Pfeiffer May 1st. They still have tickets for that thing, believe it or not. So check the CCA website. You can buy your tickets there. And then Apps and Taps, well, you know, it's kind of funny. I've been trying to call you, Corey, and even Mark Wheeler over there on the other side of the table there. I left you an email. I'm going to try to call you again. I'd like to see you come down because I know you and Pete are really good friends.
Please do.
Love this.
Yeah, thanks.
Got it.
Everybody's
got to be there.
Yeah, well, it's cool. And it's really an honor that you guys are giving me the Beacon Award this year. I feel very honored for that, for sure. And, I think I'm looking at a guy who also deserves the Beacon Award right at me here, Steve Carson. Maybe you consider him for next year. I don't know.
Mark. Oh, yeah. He's an awesome candidate for it. You betcha, Pete.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot, Arnie, for all that you do. And so go down and San Diego Rod and Reel Club will be doing the kids fishing. It's free, right?
Yes, it is.
Like most of the stuff at Day at the Docks, it's all free. So go check it out. And thanks for joining us this morning, Arnie.
Thank you very much, Pete. You all take care. Look forward to seeing everybody.
All right. Thanks. Let's jump back on the phones, Corey. If you want to get through, Jeff's standing by at 833-288-0973.
How about Sean? Sean Colm from Lomita. Good morning, Sean. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, happy day of the docks day for you guys down there. I'm up here in Lomita. I'm not going to make it, but I envy you guys. Hey, Steve, growing up in this area, fishing at Redondo Bosa City in the Special and fishing out of 22nd Street and the Queen and the Grande and the Freedom and all the boats around here. And there's also a lot of history seems to have started in the South Bay, like, for instance, here in my hometown, Lomita, Bill Poole was from Lomita, and Russ Izor was from this area. My good friend's father printed labels for Russ Izor back in the day, so I got some free line from him. But it seems that there's a lot of history that began up here in the South Bay area, and now a lot of it transferred down there. Can you talk a little bit about the history of sport fishing here in Southern California?
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Wow, well, that's a big topic, and Michael Fowkes has really, he's done the masterful job.
Such a great thing.
Of that.
The history of sport fishing.
Of doing that. That's.
And how do we watch that, Pete?
It's incredible.
Yeah, you can
history. Just go to historyofsportfishing.com and you can buy it on there.
And, you know, when you're a kid and you're just hoping to weasel your parents for, you know, $5 for the half day boat fare out of Santa Monica or Redondo, or my favorite one was the Sea Fisher out of Hermosa Pier, okay? So that's a little bit north, you know, about a mile north of Redondo, and that was not a well-run boat.
No.
But they had a under 16 half-price special for their half-day boat, and I remember it quite clearly because, again, I had to beg my parents for this money, $2.75
wow.
for the half-day
incredible.
Trip. I fish mostly the city of Redondo, which it's amazing. Now that, you know, you talk to adults now, the kids that were exposed to Redondo in that period from roughly when I was fishing there, you know, 1965 through 1980, it was a babysitter. Redondo was just a babysitter when you could just drop your kids off with a couple bucks in their pocket, one rod and reel maybe. Well, there was no Walmart then Unimart. Just one rod and reel, couple bucks in their pocket, very basic terminal tackle, and basically say, you better be right here at this corner at 5 o'clock or you don't get to go again. You don't really see that you're part of history, even though you are.
Let me ask you this, because I remember back in the day I fished the Annie B. I know you know where I'm going. Did you fish off the barge?
Not very much.
No.
Okay. I felt like, you know, what's the best way to put it? Too much for tourists. Although I did when I became a teenager, and they used to have night sessions where shark fishing was allowed. And, of course, teenagers enjoy catching sharks and messing with sharks, et cetera.
Smoothhounds.
Yeah, et cetera. Well, and even blue sharks and the occasional mako.
Okay.
We were so obnoxious that we actually got shark fishing banned.
Wow.
From the Redondo barges. So,
wow.
Yeah. So,
hey, Gary from Lawndale has a question. He sent it in via the Let's Talk Hookup app, which is the only way that you can text the show. And he says, Steve is known as the walking encyclopedia of fishing knowledge. He knew this fish that I caught on the searcher called a lancet fish. Tell us about the lancet fish.
Well, I'm jealous. I remember that because I've never caught one. And of course, I'm a species fish. It looks sort of like a nightmare barracuda.
Huh.
They're not really related to barracuda at all. But
is it like a ribbon fish?
Yeah, but imagine a ribbon fish family, but big, you know, maybe 4 or 5 feet long, with just a giant barracuda-like head. They're just mean.
That's crazy.
They, you know, they kind of inhabit that depth that we don't fish very much, like 500-foot depth. So it's not a fish that ordinarily we would catch.
Probably big old fangs on it.
Yes, giant old fangs. Yeah, my favorite one was with Mike Lum. I was out on, I can't remember what industry charter it was, but I remember Mike Lum being amazed. Somebody caught a, I don't remember who caught it.
Was it a rudder fish?
Oh, no, rudder fish are easy. It was a sarcastic fringe head.
Sarcastic fringe head.
And
our Popeye Catalufa is another one.
Popeye Catalufa. I've caught lots of Popeye Catalufa.
How many? So
can
I
you
have
catch
good,
them here, around here, Popeye Catalufa?
Absolutely.
Yes. I would say a couple a year. It's not really a common catch, but they absolutely are caught up here.
They're same color as a vermilion. They look like a crappie or like a walleye perch.
That's a good
I've
way
seen
to describe it. Yeah. Yeah.
But I had a good friend tell me that your claim to fame is you hold, like, a species record.
Not anymore. That's from, like, 20 years ago. Before, so somehow the bird watch, I'm going to blame the bird watchers.
And it comes from Ed Sarek, by the way.
Okay. The bird watchers, starting around 20 years ago, sort of polluted the fishing industry with their notion of life lists. Before that, it was fairly unusual. And, you know, I'm in the high 200s on different species.
Which is huge.
Which is pretty good, but in the bird world, it's nothing. So what's happened is now you get people. And God bless them. If I had the money and the time, I'd probably do it too.
So you've caught 200 different species?
Almost 300. Yeah, I'm in the high
200s. How crazy, right?
I'm in the high 200s. But there's people that now, they go to Panama and fish with a sabiki just to kind of load up their species. Or they're reading the paper, and they go, look, honey, there's a fish in France we haven't caught. Let's go there and catch it. And obviously, I can't compete with that.
Yeah.
So there are now people with 1,000 fish.
Thousand fish.
And I get, you know, now that I've caught all the sort of reasonably common ones that we would catch in our area, I'll get, you know, maybe a couple, two, three a year, and people know how excited I am when we're out on a long way.
Are you like a birder where you check it off the list and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do that,
Mark? Call them out.
No.
Yeah, me either. You do that, Corey?
No.
Decisively, no.
Yeah. I wonder if Yousef. I wonder how many Yousef.
Yeah, well, let's find out what's going on. Fishdope.com report, right, Corey?
It is, and it's brought to us by Summit Gasoline, and they're at the San Diego Sports Arena. It's a place to fill up your car, truck, and boat with the lowest gas and diesel prices. And did you know Summit also has a place to get the lowest price on ice? and snacks for your trip. They have over 40 snacks and all for 89 cents. Isn't that crazy? I mean, you can
load
line
of them. Yeah, it's
that's
amazing.
Crazy. Now you can get the burritos and sandwiches for your trip. All made fresh daily, and the ice is nearly half the price of other places. Only $3.99 for 25 pounds. Plus you get 100 pounds of free ice. Check this out, Steve. 100 pounds of free ice if you fill up with 35 gallons.
Yeah, you've done that before.
Oh, I've done it easy.
Yeah, many times.
I might only put 20 gallons in the truck, but I'm putting 15 gallons.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you know,
and then you get 100 pounds of free ice.
100 pounds of free ice. Yeah. Only at the San Diego Sports Arena, Summit Gasoline.
Summit Gasoline, the best. And I also note, too, that they now have their car wash open, and then they also, for $2, you can get the fishing hotspot map if you buy.
That's crazy.
Really, it has all the GPS numbers and everything like that. They cater to fishermen. So
you could start your day at Summit Gasoline, and you're off on the right foot.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, $2,000 of Summit Gasoline gift cards are going up for grabs today in the Rollo auction.
Oh,
so go buy your tickets a day at the docks, and you have a chance to win $2,000 in gas from Summit Gasoline, for sure.
Bring it on,
Youssef.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Hey, doing terrific. How's the fishing?
It's getting better, that's for sure. Up in the Channel Islands, the rock fishing has been really good. Everything kind of changed over from bass fishing to deep water rock fishing. If you are fishing up in the Channel Islands area, just make sure you have a release device and also be aware of all the towcod. They're catching tons of them up there. Santa Rosa and Santa Cruz, the halibut and sea bass has been pretty good since when weather's allowing. The Hidden Reef, in about 600 feet of water, the action is very good right now. Santa Barbara Island, there was a really good showing of sea bass last week. Most of it caught on live squid, chumming them up with live squid, and then catching them on the dropper loop or jig head. That has slowed down, but there still likely are a few fish there. Catalina, there still is a little bit of squid on the front side, slowly drying up. The backside has been fair for sea bass fishing. The halibut fishing has been much better. It's pretty good in 5 to 25 feet. The bonita are still around from can dumps to the condos. There was a guy out, I think, yesterday that was trolling and caught all he wanted. San Clemente is not showing any action right now. The water is really cold. It's 55 degrees. There is squid at the dunes and the caves. Look for the water to warm up a little bit here, and those yellowtail will hopefully turn on. Coronado Island, still kind of a ghost town. You guys out there checking it, but no scores. Down on the Tuna, as you heard before, the Polaris Supreme, I think, struck out the other day. The fish are there. They're just holding deep in like 250 to 300 feet of water. They're getting them on the sonar, but can't get them to bite, likely from being wrapped, the past couple weeks. Most of those fish are down on the hidden bank of the catcher's net. And there are some fish out west, but they're thinner schools. Down below that, from Salsapuedes to Isolete Rock, there has been some good yellowtail fishing still. And that's all the dope I got for you.
All right. And, of course, fishdope.com for $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. Are we going to see you at Day at the Docks today, Youssef?
No, I screwed up and booked a family vacation because my kids are on spring break.
Ah, very good. That's all right. Good for
you.
Yeah, good for you. Well, good for you, and thanks for taking time out of your vacation, too. But what's going on in the real estate game?
Real estate game's picking up. This last weekend was a little slow on open houses because everybody's out for spring break. But that's moving. Interest rates are dropping. We saw the lowest interest rates in 2 years last week.
That's incredible.
So hopefully this is all going to be moving in the right direction, and it's really going to start picking back up. Easy-to-move properties are moving fast. Stuff that's harder is sitting, a month still. I do have a great one, 9998 Dunbar, that is perfect for the fishermen. It's in Blossom Valley. If anybody is looking for a home with a flat acre, give me a shout.
There you go. All right. How do we find you, Joseph?
You can get me on my cell phone at 619-277-2169, on social media at Cal Realty, or you can get me on my website at sportsmansrealty.com. If you'd like a free home evaluation, you can go to SoCal Home Eval and put your address in, and we'll pick you out a home evaluation.
There you go. Thanks, Joseph. Talk to you next Sunday. Enjoy your spring break.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right.
All right. And it's brought to us by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Process in San Diego, where you get your premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. And more same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by the location of Old Town and Taylor Street, or you can check them out at fishermansprocessing.com. And don't forget to make your reservation today. And we're going to be right back, and Let's Talk Hookup more with Steve Carson and Mark Wheeler when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, 97.3 The Fan, and Facebook and YouTube Live.
Hey, everybody, this is Captain Dwayne Diego, four-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker, and there's a real good reason for it, the fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat, from the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system. My Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
Day at the Docks is back, and Fisherman's Landing Tackle will have our largest booth ever. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Both in the shop and out in the parking lot, we will feature a huge inventory of rods, reels, lures, clothing, and more, all on sale. The fishing season is here, so take advantage of our inventory and sale prices while you can. Day at the Docks and Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Take advantage of our great deals Sunday, April 13th.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check independentsportfishing.com.
Southerners Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Whether you're fly fishing, bottom fishing, net fishing, or just sitting on the water thinking about fishing, remember, a good day in the water starts with everyone wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Oh, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having so much fun in studio. Yeah. Day at the Docks today, man. Day we got Steve Docks. Carson.
It's a celebration of sport fishing.
It really
That's
is.
That's exactly what we're doing here on Day at the Docks. And you want to join us, 833-288-0973. Jeff's standing by at the fan to take your phone calls. There are lots of texts. But jump on those phones. You have a chance to win that trip on the San Diego, right, Corey?
Absolutely. A full-day trip on the San Diego out of Seaforth, man. Yeah. Going to one lucky caller or texter. We'll flip a coin at the end of the show there.
Yeah. Let's jump into those
Let's
phones.
Do it. How about Dan? Dan Combe from West Covina. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great.
I just wanted to wish you all the best at Day at the Docks and see if Mr. Carson might know something or a thing or two about the commercial bluefin industry, because I wanted to get his take on things. I just wondered, you know, since we get a lot of our intel from them to kind of find out where they are and all that stuff, you know, if they do pretty well, isn't that usually a pretty good indicator that our recreational fishing should do pretty well for the year? I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, first of all, full disclosure, that's not really my world. I just sort of know from observing, but certainly many, many, many times in the past, you know, when the bluefin, you know, when there used to be a lot more tuna boats running out of San Diego, commercial tuna boats.
And Pedro.
The local bluefin would move in, and they would just get hammered.
Mopped up.
Just hammered. And, I remember coming down here one year, and the the dock total. That used to be a big deal, was the dock total. And there were a lot more boats running essentially overnight trips. And the dock total was 1,003 bluefin for the day fleet. And I went out the next...
Wow. Which is an incredible number for back then.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you think about it. It's 50 boats catching 20 apiece.
Yeah.
That's you know, that's kind of what it is. But I went out the next day, and the dock total was 3.
Oh, you were one of the dock total watchers.
Bluefin. And they had been just hammered by the seiners.
Yeah.
And although we could certainly see them, they were around, but they had no interest in biting. But in terms of... You know, back then, they're really, maybe there were quotas, but they were really high. Now there's quotas.
And so that's the thing, Steve, and for Dan and Covina there too, is we hate regulations. But this is one of the ones that made it beautiful. Like Pete mentioned earlier, the white sea bass fishery.
Right.
Not only the hatcheries, but also the gill nets being out to 3 miles. The bluefin seiners were extremely limited or completely cut off. It's what brought it back. And Mexico today is extremely limited on what they can take.
Yes.
And they're very, very selective on the size they take.
And in May, we're going to have Captain Aaron Barnhill, who formerly the captain of the Shogun, who now runs the seiner boats and fleet down for the tuna pens. And that's what he does, is he catches bluefin. He's going to be on the show here in May after he's...
I've fished with Aaron many times on the Shogun.
He's also a commercial albacore fisherman, too, after he's done with this. And Aaron's an awesome guy. He's going to come in here and talk all about that.
So the best way to check that is go to our website, letstalkhookup.com, which you can link through our Let's Talk Hookup app, or just go straight to letstalkhookup.com. Go to the guest page, and you can see exact dates of who the future guests are. We post
some good ones coming up, Pete.
Some really good ones. Like next Saturday.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's going to be great. Corey and I will be here. Ricky will be in, lounging around in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But Corey and I will be here, and that's going to be a good one. Joey Neves from Everingham Brothers Bait Company.
I think he runs the EBCO.
And the cool thing is, I don't know whether he's going to be at the booth today at the docks for Everingham, but Everingham has a big booth, like a 40 or 60-foot booth there, and this is kind of the only show they do. So if you want to go talk bait and stuff, go down the day at the docks today and go see the good guys at the Everingham Brothers booth.
So cool.
Yeah, really good. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. That does free up 833-288-0973. And you have a good text, huh, Corey?
I do. And it comes from Jeff in Huntington Beach. And Jeff, thank you. It says, good morning, guys. Question for Steve. When rigging your slow pitch jigs, do you prefer two hooks on top, one hook each on each end, or two hooks on the bottom? Also, do you rig differently when jigging deeper depths?
That is a great question.
It is.
Yes, slightly different when it's really deep. But I like to be California legal even when I'm fishing in Mexico.
Yeah.
Just because I want to be consistent and be as productive as I can in both locations. I will go with down to about 650 feet. I'll go with a one assist hook off the nose and then a regulation single hook on the tail with a gulp tail on it.
Oh.
And what that does is we are blessed, and the hardcore traditionalist, sort of like dry fly fishermen in the fly fishing world, slow pitch jiggers do not like that gulp tail or any plastic tail on the bottom end. But we're blessed with so many fish in most of our areas where the rockfish are that if you send a regulation jig down, the first fish that sees it is going to bite it. And a lot of times that fish is not very big. And if you bring them up, and even with the recompression, you know, I don't really like bringing up the small ones. I just don't like doing it. So what happens with that 6-inch? I usually use a six inch gulp tail.
Oh, big.
Now you've increased the profile of the jig, and hopefully you scare the little ones a little bit at least to where they back off long enough for a better grade fish to bite it.
Yeah.
Now of course the gulp tail or again any plastic tail gives interference with your sink.
With
your
the flutter.
With the sink. So when it's deeper than about 650 feet, first of all, at 650 feet, the fish are big.
Yeah.
So it's less of an issue that you're going to come up with, with an 8-incher. But yeah, when it's deeper than that, I'll go without the tail, just to make sure that, just like when bluefin fishing, just when any kind of speed jigging, just with almost everything, you want to make sure that when you're slow pitch jigging, that you're as vertical as you can possibly get.
That's the key.
And yeah.
And that's why the lighter line.
Right.
And bigger jig.
And we didn't really get to finish that. I like 20-pound test on average for slow pitch jigging. Number one.
Even for bluefin?
No, not for bluefin.
Just for rockfish.
Just for rockfish. Okay. But because, first of all, modern 20-pound, just about any of the brands.
Pretty strong.
I happen to use Berkley X9, but any of the brands, 20-pound is usually in the 35 to 37 pound actual breaking strength, which means even if you hook a big lingcod, you're going to get it. It's not a problem. And
it's like the size of like 8 pound, right?
Oh, it's really small.
Really, super skinny.
And again, I'm blessed in that I don't necessarily have to have a spare reel in my garage where I switch the line back and forth between my rockfish line and my tuna line. On my smaller slow pitch reels, even for tuna, I do use usually 30. I've caught some really nice, you know, I'm not catching 100-pounders with that, but I've caught some really nice 40, 50, 60-pounders.
Probably up to. I mean, you could probably get it done.
You could do it, but I want to be considerate of my fellow anglers.
Yeah.
And then, but what the problem fish with slow pitch gear is yellowtail. Because with a bluefin tuna, if he's 50, if he's 60, if he's 70 pounds, if you have enough line, you have your drag set right, and you know your knots are good, you're going to eventually tire him out. A yellowtail is going straight for the structure.
Yes.
And it's hard to slow pitch with a line heavier than 40.
It just doesn't get the action.
It just doesn't get the action. Yeah. Doesn't sink right. So I'll kind of go back and forth between 40 and 50 on my slow pitch jigging for yellowtail. Depends on how many jigs I feel like losing.
Right.
If I've got a lot of jigs and I don't mind losing them, then I'll use the 40 because they get a lot more bites. But if you want to have any shot at holding a yellowtail out of structure,
you get heavier line.
You need to have the 50.
Pete, before you read your text, I have a funny one here, and it comes from Gary White in Lawndale.
I read that one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to read?
No. We already read it. Yeah.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Yeah.
For remembering the lacet fish.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Tony from Hesperia writes, "Hey, fishing memories again. I would miss climbing down the steps of the pier at Paradise Cove in Malibu and getting a gentleman on the
with,
gentleman.
With Uncle Willie Moylan, who was the general manager of Paradise Cove Sport Fishing.
I remember when I was 16, 17 years old, I had a wooden 16-foot skiff with a 1963 85-horsepower Mercury outboard. I used to tow it down to Paradise Cove and launch it off the pier there.
Wow.
That was some good fishing back then.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah,
that was
some really good fishing. But it was like the... You know, like they used to put it on the crane. You know, you hook up. You got to make sure your eyes are all good because, you know, when they lift the boat, you don't want those eyes ripping out.
It was pretty scary. Right?
And they still do that at Gaviota Pier.
Do they?
Yeah.
It's the only way to get in there.
No commercial fishing are allowed to do that, but a sport recreational angler can do it. Is that pier still there, Paradise Cove?
It was lost in the El Nino, about half of it.
Uh-huh.
Was broken off, and there wasn't the money or the willpower to fix it, and so it's now called, jokingly, the Paradise Cove Stump. And mainly you see it used in Britney Spears videos and things like that. It's a popular filming location. I'm sure the fishing's decent if you can cast a little bit, but it's nothing like it was.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Cool. Hey, I got a great text here from Mark Wheeler.
Oh,
it's a board question.
He says,
I'm in the market for a truck to pull my 25-foot boat. It's a Parker, 25-foot Parker, triple axle trailer. What do you recommend?
So that's going to weigh about, 9,000 all in?
Yeah.
Triple axle, 25, twins on the back.
Yeah.
You can tow with a 150.
You could?
You can.
Is that
They'll
right?
tow 11,000 pounds.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
A 150 will tow 11,000 pounds.
So, but then the question is, how far are you towing it? What
right.
kind of range do you need? Are you going up hills and all that other stuff?
Yeah.
So a 150 or the 250, our 250s have 500 horsepower and 1,200 pound-feet of torque.
That's crazy.
So,
wow.
I mean, they'll pull this building. They're amazing vehicles, and they get great fuel
And what
economy.
Engines do those have?
Well, between the 150s with the one, I like the 3.5 for towing, and then we have a 3.5 with a hybrid on it, with a hybrid boost. Still keeps a 10-speed hydraulic transmission, and that's the key. and they tow. I tow my side by side out to the river with one of those, and it's unbelievable.
You probably don't even know what's behind you.
Yeah, you don't. And they're smooth and everything's balanced, and it's just an unbelievable machine.
How many tickets
machine.
Have you gotten going up over the hill?
Now you ask me these personal questions, Corey. I'm not going to ask you personal questions. No, I just. Anyway, so a 250. Between
be
a 150 and a 250. Yeah, I mean, if you were towing.
What engine would you put on the 150?
I would go with the Power Boost. I mean, that's my favorite. It's a 3.5 Ford with a 10-speed automatic, and then they took the torque converter on the hydraulic transmission, and they put electric boost in the so that it'll run full electric. And it'll run gas and electric, and now it's 450 horsepower and 500, and I don't hold me to exactly to about 550 in torque, and they fly.
That's
and
crazy.
They get 22, 23, 24 real world miles per
what?
Hour.
What?
Yeah. All the San Diego County Ford dealers are doing employee pricing on the F-150s now. So.
And you have them in stock?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, ready to go.
But if I live in East County, why wouldn't I drive to Encinitas?
Well, you should.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to be, you know.
Trying to be politically correct.
Yeah, politically correct.
But Paul Dyke is a really good guy.
Paul's a great guy. Yeah. Good friend of mine.
He's a good friend of all of ours.
Yeah.
And Paul at Elkhorn Ford is a fisherman.
All the Ford dealers are cool.
Yeah.
But they're just extra cool.
Well, almost as cool as me, Corey.
Yeah, not quite. Yeah. But what about the F-150 Lightning? I mean, does that tow?
They tow great. They won't tow long.
Yeah.
And
all electric.
The Lightning's a fabulous all electric vehicle. It gets a buddy of mine got one, and literally he could save $1,200 a month on his fuel bill by going to an electric vehicle.
That's crazy.
$1,200 a month.
Holy smokes. But what's his electric bill?
It's got solar, but you buy in San Diego County to charge your electric vehicle. I have one for my wife. It's 14 cents a kilowatt hour overnight,
uh-huh.
Right? So you drive home, you plug it in, you charge up, and you got 300 mile range.
Wow, beautiful.
Boom. If you need to tow 8,000 pounds to Yuma, that's not the vehicle you want. It's not the vehicle.
But if you're kind of driving around town, you're just going local fishing. What's the capacity on the Lightning?
For towing, I think it's 10,000 pounds. But
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's hot.
And those things are fast.
They're really fast. They're really efficient because they get, it takes a kilowatt hour, will take you 2 miles roughly, right? So it takes you 7 cents a mile for electricity.
That's crazy.
For fuel, right?
Wow. And that's a Lightning?
That's a Lightning.
So do you have them on site? I mean, if somebody's listening.
I got them ready to go.
And how long is the employee pricing thing going to go for?
I believe it goes through the end of May, but don't hold me to that.
Yeah.
Don't wait.
The problem is we're burning out a lot. We're selling a lot of great vehicles. Yeah. And we're selling a lot of great vehicles.
And what about the financing? I got 2.9 for 36 months.
Right.
Which is, you can do better.
And employee prices.
So it's not an either or, you get them both.
Right. And when you look at the Ford lineup, so we've got the Bronco family. So we got the Bronco Sports and the full size Bronco, which I drive in a full size Bronco. We've got the Raptors. So we've got a new Raptor vehicle. We've got the Bronco Raptor, the F-150 Raptor, which you see a lot of those. And now we have a Ranger Raptor that's my next driver.
Really?
I'm going to have a Ranger Raptor. And then, of course, we've got Super Duty.
Ranger's a cool truck.
It's a beautiful truck.
Yeah. It's smaller than the 150, but it's still a big truck.
And they just redesigned it this year, so they put it on the Bronco, the full-size Bronco platform.
Wow.
So it's got a bunch more features. And they restyled it. It looks more like an F-150. It's just great.
Can you get one?
Yeah, yeah. And we've got Mavericks. We've got Mavericks, both hybrid and gas.
Mavericks, too?
We got all the good stuff.
Ford's doing it right, man.
Yeah, and they're all, and for the most part, most of them are made here, and we make more vehicles in the United States of America than anybody else.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have a great text, huh?
I do. It's, let's see here. Yeah, definitely. Hey, guys, great show as always. Down here at Date the Docks, it's electric and tackle show and sale is phenomenal. So much good gear. to be had and feel the excitement in the air. Thank you for all you guys and Dude Captains Rollo and getting lots of activity as well. Let's get those kids out fishing. It comes from Curtin Vista. So it's basically nice to support trip. Friends of Rollo yeah. down there.
I have one from Sean in Chula Vista. He says, Steve, what braid to mono knot do you use for 100-plus pound bluefin tuna?
Braid to mono. For 100-pounders, I'm just using an RP or John Collins with, as I described really? Earlier, through the hole.
Yeah.
When you're going back through the finishing hole, go back through again. So it's going through twice. Then when you draw it down, I use the tack glue, usually two coats of it. It sets up real fast. It sets up in like 90 seconds.
So what you were saying is the tack glue doesn't strengthen the knot, but what does it
keeps
do?
It from slipping.
Keeps it from slipping.
Creates a, I may not be using the correct word, creates a slight friction coefficient so that if literally the mono is going to start slipping through your turns, it doesn't.
It anchors it.
It anchors
but,
it.
But for me in the freshwater arena, Pete, that going through that RP knot two or three times creates an abrasion resistant cover over the loop of fluorocarbon.
So Steve, when you are you gluing just the mono tag end, or are you gluing the whole knot?
The whole knot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's a waterproof glue. The tack glue.
Yeah, it's called tack glue. And like I say,
they sell it.
I've tried some of the other brands off of, you know, that mail order company that's a river in South America, and they all have the word bass associated with them. They seem to work okay, but they don't set up very quickly. Hey. And if I'm out there and the fishing's happening and I'm trying to retie, especially if it's one of my trips where I'm hosting the trip, I might be retying, you know, for 8 or 10 people on the boat. I have to be able to, like, crank through them, and that tack glue is the stuff.
And okay, they've sold that at Fisherman's for years.
Yeah, tack glue. I use it. Yeah, I use it when I'm tying flies.
Oh,
yeah.
It got my attention.
There are other brands, but none I have tried work as well.
When you catch a bluefin, 100-pound plus bluefin, are you retying that particular connection?
No. That one I am not retying.
You're not retying.
If I catch a 300-pounder, then I might.
Okay.
But 100-pounder, what have we become?
I know.
That 100-pounder is a medium. It's
I
routine.
Know. I know. 100-pounder is plenty big for me. What about you, Mark? Mark is a big fish man. He likes catching.
I love big tuna.
Bigger the better, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You and Ron Lane.
Yeah.
Although I was fortunate in that my last cast of 2024, 2 days before Thanksgiving, on the Vagabond, we were in that wide open bite on 90-pound bluefin, and so I kind of had just my rig number four. If you attend my seminar at 9:30, rig number four of the five don't leave without. This one was a little bigger, and it ended up to be 200 pounds.
Oh, whoa!
And I hate to say it wasn't that hard because it wasn't easy, but you know I had confidence in all my knots, my drags were set properly, you know my guys were right, everything was right, and I got the fish in a reasonable amount of time on my rig number four, not even my rig number five.
What is your rig number four?
Rig number four is in my case, a Penn Torque 40 narrow with 80-pound braid and a 100-pound top shot leader, call it whatever you want. I like to go with about 50 feet to get a little bit of stretch, not too much.
Fluorocarbon or mono?
That's mono. And then my bite leader in that particular case, I was lucky I had a bite leader, was 130. If the fish are small, I go with the straight 100 pounds.
Incredible information, man. We're going to come back, Steve. We're going to find out who's won this folding trip on the San Diego. We're going to return on the Let's Talk Fish About 97.3 The Fan, Facebook, and YouTube Live.
Power your boat with Norse Lithium. The ultimate choice for marine adventures. Our batteries deliver unmatched starting, trolling, and electronics power. Backed with cutting-edge technology like Deep Sleep to eliminate phantom draw. Built with rugged BCI-compliant cases, they're designed to handle the toughest conditions on the water. Stay in control with the Norsk Guardian app. Monitor performance, track battery health, and unlock advanced features right from your phone. Charge with confidence using EvoTech onboard and DC-to-DC chargers for fast, efficient, and hassle-free power management. Designed for maximum compatibility, these chargers keep your entire system running at peak performance, so you're always ready for the next trip. With a 10-plus-2-year non-prorated warranty, you can trust your batteries to perform for years to come. Our industry-leading warranty ensures you get the most out of your investment. With dedicated customer support if you ever need it, upgrade your marine power today. Set up your custom system at NorseLithium.com or visit Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood. Norse Lithium. No matter where the adventure takes you, we've got you powered.
Take a closer look at the Ford Bronco and the Bronco Sport. You'll see adventure, discovery, and even a little mud. These 4x4s provide the muscle, tech, and durability to go anywhere. Get your ideal combination of power and capability to handle whatever comes your way. Whether it's taking something down to the launch ramp or going out in the desert, it's time to see Ford in a new light. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers to check out the new Ford Bronco or Bronco Sport today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
This is Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star. In 1983, a group of intrepid anglers envisioned crafting the best sunglasses on the water. It's true now as it was then. Costa's performance frames excel in the toughest of elements. These styles are packed with functional features that create a competitive advantage for any adventure on the water. From the lake to offshore, Costa's performance collection has a legacy of helping anglers stay on the water longer. Learn more at CostaDelMar.com.
This is Rock Cod Rick for Adventure and Camping, where they bring the adventure to you. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't own an RV or a trailer or simply don't want the hassle, let Adventure and Camping park it for you. Check out their website, adventureandcamping.com. Select from over 75 campgrounds they serve. Decide on a trailer floor plan that fits your needs. Request a quote for your desired vacation dates. Then just show up and start your adventure. Adventure and Camping makes it so simple. They deliver the trailer to your spot and you enjoy a clean, spacious trailer. When it comes time to go home, just close the door and drive away. It doesn't get any easier. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't want the hassle, Adventure and Camping is for you. Check out adventureandcamping.com for details. Make sure you mention that Rock Cod Rick sent you for a special price. Adventureandcamping.com.
Everything about Katmai Lodge is first rate, and it should be on the bucket list of everyone who enjoys fishing. This is Brandon Bono. My visit to Katmai Lodge is an experience I will never forget. Constructed on the banks of the Alagnac River in Katmai National Park, the lodge is a fishing dream come true. The experience is incomparable. Whether bait casting, spin, or fly fishing, you'll find king, sockeye, chum, coho, and pink salmon, plus trout, grayling, char, and Dolly Varden. Their guides are amazing. Days are exciting and fun with hot lunches and snacks served on the river. The brown bears, bald eagles, beaver, otters, and other wildlife you see is amazing. The lodge staff is great. There's complimentary wine, beer, and appetizers before a fantastic dinner every evening. Take it from me, a trip to Katmai Lodge should be on your list. For information, visit katmai.com or call 1-800-330-0326. Once again, that's Katmai Lodge, KATMAI.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and flipping the coin is going to be Steve here. Go for it, Steve.
Ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Texter, today the texter, the winner, Jeff in Huntington Beach. Congratulations, Jeff. You win that trip on the San Diego. Yeah. And Mark Wheeler, Encinitas Ford, my good friend, and bought many cars, and I can highly recommend Ford, of course, in general. And thank you for the San Diego County Ford dealers. And, of course, you want to talk fishing, go to Encinitas Ford.
There we go. And we're so proud to be a part of Let's Talk Hookup all these decades,
yes,
Pete.
Yes, and we appreciate that support. Yeah, and thank you for that. And, again, employee pricing for everybody right now.
It's good for everybody on nearly all of our products that we sell. We're the most domestic manufacturer. We make more cars in the United States of America with U.S. labor.
Yeah.
Come down and see Encinitas Ford or any of the fine Ford dealers in San Diego County.
Yeah, and along with that, the employee prices, financing as low as 2.9%.
That's correct. We got it on both ways,
both
and
ways.
Ford's writing huge checks.
Thank you, Steve. What time's your seminar?
9:30 at the Captain State.
All right. We'll see you at Day at the Docks. And thank you out there. Thanks to Jeff for manning the phones. Next Saturday, Corey and I will be with Joey Needs from Everingham Brothers Bait Company. That's going to be great. And then next Sunday, Captain Dwayne Diego from Pinnacle Sport Fishing. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on The Fan, 97.3, and, of course, YouTube, Facebook Live, and the Let's Talk Hookup.